inches away from the outstretched hands.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. Justin Tuck's time with the Giants, a two-time Super Bowl champion. As a young pup, he helped the Giants win in 2007 and took a leadership role as the Giants won in 2011. When Tuck was drafted by the Giants in the third round of the 05 draft out of Notre Dame, he came into town with a chip on his shoulder. He was the Irish's all-time leading sack getter, but fell until the third round. But Justin Tuck's humble beginnings in a small town in Alabama led him on a path to Super Bowl championships. So tell me what it was like growing up in Kellyton, Alabama.
It was fun for me. I think, you know, obviously I lived on like a, you know, in a really, really rural place, and it was a lot of land that, you know, gave me the opportunity to kind of run around. And you know, I love being outside. I love a lot of family around me, so it was good for me. I mean, as a kid, I think everybody told me that they saw me like playing at a higher level because I guess I was the best athlete in my town at my age. So everybody's kind of like saying that, you know, you're going to play in the league, you're going to do this. But I never really gave it much thought. I thought that, you know, my dad always preached that use athletics to get a great education. And that's what, you know, my thought process was when I went to Notre Dame. I would probably say my sophomore year was kind of when I started really, really thinking about, man, I could really make a career out of this and really, you know, make some noise at the next level.
At Notre Dame, Justin grew into one of the nation's premier pass rushers. But despite finishing his college career as the Fighting Irish's all-time sack leader, a knee injury would cause Tuck's draft stock to fall, and the Giants reaped the benefits, selecting him in the third round of the 2005 draft.
I definitely felt as though I was better than most, if not all, the defensive ends that were drafted before me. I was surprised that I slipped that far down, but I wasn't surprised by the Giants. I was actually pretty excited about it. And coming to New York and getting the opportunity to work with, you know, Michael Strahan, OC of New York at the time. But when I first got here, all I knew was athletic ability. You know, that was my calling card, just being able to, you know, run fast, jump high, and so on and so forth. You know, I didn't know anything about technique. I didn't know anything about hand placement and all that stuff. And that's something that Stray definitely taught me, just how to take on blocks, how to escape blocks, you know, what to read before the ball is snapped, what to look for. You know, that's something I definitely was able to pick up from him and a lot of other guys on the D-line as well.
Justin would storm onto the scene for Big Blue, recording 31 tackles in his rookie season and a memorable first sack against the Giants' bitter rivals.
Let's go back, looks right, feels pressure, gets sacked again, fumbles the football, it's loose. They dive for it. The Giants say they have it at the 22.
You know, my first sack against Dallas, that's always good. Caused fumble, we recovered it, and luckily I was able to kind of make one of those plays to prevail us to a win that day.
Justin Tuck got the sack and forced fumble.
It's the rookie Justin Tuck who got his first sack.
From that point on, I just kind of got better and better every week. It was kind of like, okay, I got a hold of this now.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck, presented by New York Presbyterian.
Tuck was a man-child. Not too many guys are 6'5", 270, agile, speed, power, inside, outside, true craftsmanship as far as learning how to perfect his craft and taking something from a Strahan and an OC and be put into his own world. Hell of a football player.
Do you get a sense that this team and players like yourself and the free agents that they added and the way they were drafting that you guys were really building to something special?
I did. And what I loved about it was it seemed like we were piecing things together. You know, obviously we had a lot of great talent, especially on the D-line and O-line, that was young. I mean, you talk about David Deal, you talk about Snee. You know, those guys were kind of becoming the anchor of that O-line to go along with McKenzie and Rich and O'Hara. on the D-line, you know, obviously had the staples like Michael Strahan. And at the time, I guess you could say Osi was a staple too, but he was still in his third year as well. You know, we had drafted Barry Cofield. We had Fred Robbins. You had, you know, a young and very talented quarterback in Eli Manning. Then you go to the running backs, one big and heavy bruising back, one quick and tough back, and one all-around back in Derek Ward, Brandon Jacobs, and Ahmad. So we felt as though we needed to take the next steps.
Despite their high hopes, Tuck and the Giants lost their first two games of the 2007 season, giving up a combined 80 points. And in a Week 3 game at Washington, they would be put to the ultimate test, clinging to a lead late in the game with the Redskins threatening to score on the goal line.
As a defense, we hadn't played well the first two games. I know it's only 3 weeks into the season, but our backs were against the wall.
Fourth and goal at the one. Redskins need a touchdown to tie.
I'm a young cat, and I'm on the goal line, and I honestly knew the ball was coming to my side. I could just feel it. So I just made a real quick outside move to kind of set the edge.
Takes the snap, handoff left for Fast, and he's tripped up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal, and they're going to win the ball game.
That play, I think, just set the tone for what the rest of the season is going to be like.
The Giants reeled off their next six victories, and Justin Tuck would continue to come of age, recording 10 sacks on the season and terrorizing opposing quarterbacks.
And then he's going to get sacked, Justin Tuck.
You know, Justin, you know, you could see that, you know, he was coming alive all year. Like, you know, he was just getting better all year.
Grossman, back to throw, under pressure, gets sacked by Justin Tuck, back at the 35-yard line from Kavika Mitchell. Tuck has had a heck of a year.
After clinching a playoff berth at Week 16 in Buffalo, Tuck and the Giants would face the undefeated Patriots in the final game of the regular season.
We didn't want them to go 16-0, and we wanted to inflict some harm on the pretty boy. You can see, like, they wasn't used to this type of athleticism, this type of speed, a front four that you could just throw at them in waves. I don't think they had seen that before. They were going for history there, so we definitely took their best punch that night.
After a first-round victory in Tampa over the Buccaneers, Tuck and the Giants would travel to Texas to face their arch rivals.
So now you're going down to Dallas. They had beaten you twice during the regular season. Did you get motivated by the fact that Jerry Jones gave his players tickets to the NFC Championship game?
Absolutely. I don't need motivation to go play Dallas. I really don't. I think everybody knows how I feel about Dallas. But that was kind of a, you know, somebody just basically spit in your face. They're a team that's 13-3, first seed. I think they got 11 Pro Bowlers. All the pressure's on them. So we kept the game close. We felt as though they would crack. We felt our D-line was more in better shape than their O-line. And I think in the third and fourth quarter, that started to show.
Here we go, fourth and 11 at the Giants 23. 16 seconds to go. Romo takes the snap. Back to throw, has time to the end zone. Intercepted by the Giants. Intercepted by the Giants in the end zone. R.W. McCorders.
Way to go, R.W. What a play.
And the New York Giants have knocked off the number one seed in the NFC, and they win the ball game 21-17.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, minus 1 degree with a wind chill of minus 23.
I came out pregame with no shirt on just to feel it. And I knew I wasn't going to wear a shirt in the game either because I'm not going to be beat by the weather. But, yeah, it was cold. We knew going into this was going to be one of those old-school dog-eat-dog drag-out type of games.
First and 10 from the Giants 18.
As Brandon Jacobs runs into Charles Woodson.
Yeah, I'm really good friends with Woodson, man. He don't like to talk about that run. it definitely set the tone. And when we saw that on the sideline, we knew that everything we were feeling on defense as far as how we wanted to approach this game, our offense, they were right there behind us saying the same thing.
If you look at the game in its entirety, you outplayed them in every which way. But here you are coming down to the nitty-gritty. Tynes is missing these field goals in the fourth quarter. Corey gets the interception to start overtime, so Favre gets one play, and now your offense is back.
Sure.
And then suddenly Tynes comes running out.
Well, one thing you know about Tynes is he has a really, really short memory.
All right, here goes Tynes again from 47 yards to kick the Giants to the Super Bowl. Snap is good. Kick on its way. End over end. Does it have the distance? It is
good.
Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
to go to Lambeau Field in that type of epic setting to win a game on the road against one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. That was so special.
And the New York Giants are going to Super Bowl 42 in overtime. They beat the Packers 23-20.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck, presented by New York Presbyterian.
The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
We're going here to bury a dynasty. Business as usual. Holla.
We like the underdog role, but we did subtle things to let the world know that we wasn't afraid. We was very confident. I mean, the black suits coming off the plane.
February the 3rd, 2008. At stake, the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The New England Patriots trying to rewrite history. 18-0.
I mean, no one believed that we were going to go in there and win that football game. No one was giving us a shot, and we liked it like that.
Everybody talk about a dynasty. Our dynasty starts today.
We were very confident in our game plan and us matching up with this team.
Brady took another hit. He is getting rabid.
It becomes a slugfest, and you guys are just swarming Brady. You have two sacks in the game.
Should have had six.
Should have had six?
Yeah, I watched that game a lot.
Brady back to throw. Stepped up. Back again. Back at the 15-yard line. Justin Tuck got in there. Back-to-back sacks of Brady as the Giants dial up the pass rush.
I just remember being on the sideline watching Strahan and Tuck and OC go to work, and it was like an avalanche, and they couldn't stop it. And Tuck, I mean, he became Justin Tuck. I mean, he's powerful, fast, and he really showed all the tools that he had in that game.
Brady back, has time, steps up, gets hit, fumble. Sacked, fumble the football, it's loose on the ground, they scramble for it, giant ball at midfield.
You know, Tuck was having a great year that year, but I think that Super Bowl game really propelled him. He was flip-flopping from left end to right end to playing both inside positions and just being at force.
Well, Justin Tuck, I mean, he has been the MVP of this defensive front. How about his night here in Super Bowl 42? Six tackles, two sacks, and now a forced fumble.
Everybody talked about the Super Bowl being like the greatest game I've ever played, and I'm always the guy to say as well. The only reason why I was able to have the success I had against that O-line that night was because everybody else around me was having the same amount of success.
Despite Tuck's heroics, the Giants still trailed the Patriots by 4 points late in the fourth quarter, and the offense would need to mount a game-winning drive.
Under pressure, avoids the rush, and he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it. Now throws it deep downfield. Wide open Tyree. Makes the catch. What a play by Manning. What a catch by Tyree.
After I saw that catch, it was like, there's nowhere we're losing this game. Like, you don't have a play like that and not finish it all.
And Eli Manning in perfection.
Takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone! And that is it. The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots, and the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
It goes down in history as what I think is one of the best Super Bowls ever, considering all the dynamic plays that were made in it. And, you know, coming away Super Bowl champion, man, against all odds, it seems.
They 18-1 now.
We can argue with Eli whether he's the MVP or not, but, you know, I thought he was unbelievable.
I never really thought that I deserved the MVP, to be honest with you. I thought I went out there and did a great job to help my team win, but I've never said to myself, they made the wrong call there. After winning Super Bowl 42 and having a parade going down the Canyon of Heroes, being on a float with confetti falling in your face with, you know, 3 million people on the side of the street screaming, you know, your name or the Giants or congratulations or, you know, whatever it may be, man, it's just something that, you know, I luckily got to share with, you know, a lot of great guys, my family, and, you know, you'll never forget exactly how special that moment was.
It's Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Justin Tuck.
Man, let's send a message to everybody else in this league that the Giants, hey, we defended champions for a reason.
Hit by Tuck and sacked by Justin Tuck.
These guys got 16 total yards of offense.
That's 16 too many.
16 too many.
Number 91 would have the best year of his career in 2008, recording 12 sacks, and his versatility was on full display.
Sidearm to one left. The pass intercepted by Justin Tuck. He's got it on the run to the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Justin Tuck.
How about Tuck?
I don't know that I've seen a guy with the combination of speed and power and athleticism that he has. And he has great character. I mean, this guy's the entire package.
Tuck would be named to his first Pro Bowl in 2008, but the Giants ultimately fell short in their quest to repeat as champions. Despite dealing with injuries, Justin maintained his dominance over the years, taking over the reins as the Giants' veteran defensive captain. But in 2011, he would face a personal challenge.
You know, in training camp, I get a call that my grandfather died. So I take a plane down and we go to his funeral. And, you know, we had a preseason game that night. And my dad was like, do you want to go back? And I'm sitting there with my family. And I'm like, you know, the only thing that's going to really clear my mind about anything like this is actually being in front of my team. So I ended up playing. Ended up getting hurt that game. Pinched a nerve in my neck. Just something we battled with all year. So Coach Coughlin calls me in the office. And he's like, Justin, I know it's been, you know, a tough year for you, but I really need you to be the guy that's the leader of this football team. And it really shook me because I think I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. The team wasn't playing up to his par. I wasn't playing up to my par. But I really appreciate Coach Coughlin for that because it was like, we know you're better than this. And it was kind of that speech, and it kind of woke me up and was able to kind of right the ship, not only personally, but also, you know, our team was. And we started this rally cry called All In, and I decided to give every one of my teammates these poker chips with All In on the back of it. And it just basically meant that regardless of what happened, we need to be all in on this season. And it had the opportunity to just really bring the team together. I think that All In cry for us in 2011-12 season was just something that was God sent. And, you know, getting it to Super Bowl 46, man, getting the opportunity to give that speech.
How many of y'all want it today? I got a ring. Chris, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. Rock, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. Limba, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like.
Being in the Super Bowl and having this opportunity just doesn't come around, you know, every year. There were some guys on that football team that had never been in the Super Bowl, had never held a Super Bowl ring, and I didn't want them to miss out on it.
Boss, you ain't got one. You don't know what it feel like. I'm telling you right now, it's the best feeling in the world. And if it's on me today, you're going to have one out of this.
Brady on a play fake. He will throw. He has time. Now he's going to throw a deep ball down the middle of the field. Nobody's there as Brady took a shot.
Intentional grounding. The 12 for safety.
Justin Tuck terrorized Tom Brady in Super Bowl 42. Gets a hit on Brady on the first snap of the game tonight. Giants rush three. Brady's under pressure. Brady's going to get sacked by Tuck.
Captain Clutch. You know, I've never seen anybody perform the way Tuck would perform on the biggest stage in the biggest games. He would play the biggest.
Brady is back. He's under pressure and he gets sacked at the 13-yard line. Pierre, Paul, and Tuck split it. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball and it's incomplete and the ball game's over and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Still will, the heart of the champion.
We are world champions.
After winning the Super Bowl, I can remember just breaking down, crying, thinking that, you know, Grandpa was watching me and had shined on us in some kind of way to help us win that football game.
Tuck played two more years in New York before finishing his career with two seasons as a member of the Oakland Raiders. But in 2016, he would return home to retire as a Giant and be inducted into the Ring of Honor.
My entire career, I used to always look up at those rafters and get kind of inspiration from the past greats. Lawrence Taylor, Sam Huff, Robustelli. And now to go up there with those guys in a lot of ways the gatekeepers of this franchise. And to be included in that conversation is mind-blowing. I still get chills just thinking about growing up in a town of 200 people, being in the yard, throwing the ball to myself. Going from there to now, wherever I go, people know me as Justin Tuck, the New York Giant. This organization helped me go from a small kid. I got here when I was 21 years old. I was a kid, to being a better father, a better husband, a better person. Obviously, I'm blessed to have had the success, and I'm blessed to be a part of the organization. I'm blessed to be a New Yorker now. Once a Giant, always a Giant means that I have to make sure that I'm representing this organization the way that it deserves to be represented.
Justin Tuck will be successful in his life after football. He already is, getting his NBA and having an opportunity to work in the business world. And when you think about where he came from and what he was able to accomplish with the New York Football Giants, pretty amazing stuff. And just think about this. He rose to the occasion in the biggest spots. 4 sacks of Tom Brady in the Giants' 2 Super Bowl wins. Not bad for a kid from Kellyton, Alabama. That wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.